5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I got a lot to get to today. We got some good interviews coming up. We will have Kevin Lytle on at 12:30. I believe he's there. He's getting set for what should be a really fun tournament for Colorado State. I'm not sure if he's there just yet, but we're going to get to that. The Paradise Jam in the Virgin Islands. I believe Lytle is there. Hopefully cell phone reception is good. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question is up at theholeshow.com. It's stemming from our conversation yesterday, but honestly, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this one, see where the vote landed, see what the hooligans think. Would you like to see the Broncos bring Melvin Gordon back? And again, you guys are already commenting on social media. Depends on for what's the value. Just assume that the value is market value, and it's what he needs to be paid. $5 million. Whatever. Just assume that they're going to give him market fair value. Do you want to see Gordon back? Because Gordon and Bridgewater, no question, are not necessarily in Broncos' good graces this week. Melvin having the fumble that essentially killed this game. And then Teddy, of course, not making the tackle. So what do you think? Go vote right now. The results are up again at theholeshow.com. And 75%, this has kind of been mostly yes today. 75% saying yes. Interesting. Now 80%. Okay, it's just moving along. All right, so go vote again at theholeshow.com. Let me know. I mean, we're kind of going over all of the things that the Broncos might do in the future when it comes to the payroll. I look at that payroll and I see maybe Kareem Jackson's the only one that I feel strongly enough about where I would say, yeah, I don't want to live without that guy next year. I'd like to see him back in a Broncos uniform. The rest, take it or leave it, honestly. Tim Patrick, Melvin Gordon, fine players. I'm not going to be mad either way if they sign him or don't. But they're not, I don't think any guys on this roster, save for a couple of defensive players and a couple of young players like Javonte Williams, are guys that that you can't live without. So let me know on that one. This Broncos situation this whole week, I've been fired up about it all week. I've been fired up about the excuses that I hear from, you know, colleagues in the business, fans, about Teddy and about this Broncos team. And I mean, I'm flabbergasted by this. I'm absolutely confused that we continue to make excuses for guys like Teddy. Oh, well, no, he's still a great leader. He's still a great guy. And yesterday the vote was crazy. You guys voted you'd like to see Teddy back in a Broncos uniform. The only way I want to see Teddy Bridgewater back as a Bronco is because he's backing up somebody. Now, we can get into this whole thing with Drew Lock and quarterback, the quarterback carousel. They're not patient, man. I mean, bottom line is this team, they're not patient with these young guys trying to work with them a little bit longer. They're quick to move on from these quarterbacks. And you know, I get that with guys that are proven in the or that have been in the league, like a Teddy Bridgewater and a Joe Flacco. I get that. But look at this. Look at Denver Post put this out. I think this is a really interesting read, also a depressing read. A look at quarterbacks since Peyton Manning. Where are they? What are they up to now? Well, I mean, just look at this list. We're becoming the Cleveland Browns. I know hooligans get mad at me when I say that because the Broncos have a rich history, and they do. But the last 5 years, you have been the Cleveland Browns. You recycle coaches. You recycle quarterbacks. Look at Trevor Siemian. There's Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. Where's Paxton Lynch now, by the way? Is he even in the league anymore? Brock Osweiler, a guy that I would have liked to see end up a Bronco in that follow-up year after the Super Bowl. Who knows what his career might have done? Maybe he turns it around by staying in Denver, staying in a system that he knows. And who that one to me is the one that got away. I know he went to Houston and he ended up not being very good. And then he came back to Denver, but That was just, I thought it could have worked out. Then he goes to Houston, and that was a train wreck of an organization when he went there. You saw it continuing to fall apart. Like, O'Brien didn't even know, didn't even talk to Osweiler. Like, he didn't even know that was happening when management signed him. So you got Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum. I mean, this is all since Peyton Manning. This is all the last 5 years. We've had Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock, of course, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rypien, Kendall Hinton, Teddy Bones. I mean, these are all guys that have started at quarterback for you since Peyton Manning in 5 years. Who else is like that? Bad organizations, right? From an organization that, I mean, think about this for a minute. When it was, Elway. After Elway, who was the starting quarterback? Brian Griese? They did a couple of years with Brian Griese. Then they had some quarterback controversy back and forth, but it didn't stick. You know, they ended up getting Jake Plummer a couple years after the Griese experiment failed. And they had, like, Danny Cannell. A couple of those guys, no big names. And then Jake Plummer was there for, what, 3 years? So you had stability there for three full seasons. He was your guy. He had some great, I mean, some would argue, I mean, outside of the Elway and Manning era, that three-year stint, was one of the more, you know, not going to Super Bowl, but was one of the more successful stretches for the Broncos outside of Elway Manning era. Probably was. 3 years of playoffs, 1 year of going to the AFC Championship. So you had Plummer, and then they get Jay Cutler. The Jay Cutler thing doesn't work out. Josh McDaniels gets Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow here. Two totally different quarterbacks. So McDaniels thinking. Traded to get Kyle Orton, and then drafted Tim Tebow. I don't understand. That was a weird deal. Then, of course, Manning followed up Tebow, and you had some more stability. You had stability with the Broncos quarterback situation. Haven't had that in a long time. And when you start seeing that thing, this is what's so tough for me. Like, when I get on social media, or when I talk to some of our listeners via social media, I'm astonished that there's so many people that are wanting to ride this thing out with Teddy. That we had Zach Stevens on, Tuesday? Tell us from the feel he's getting from the organization is that Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, and Teddy Bridgewater, all three of them, would be back next year. I mean, I get this year is an evaluation year for George Payton. I understand that. But next year? I mean, I think Broncos country, I mean, again, if they don't turn this thing around, they're 5-5. If they somehow beat the Chargers and then split with the Chiefs, then okay. I mean, are you good with all those three coming back next season if they squeeze into the playoffs? I think the answer has to be yes. I don't know. I don't see Vic like getting any better as a head coach. I don't see Pat Shurmur getting any better. What I see is a guy like Javonte Williams just has himself a couple of days. Teddy plays within himself. He's not turning it over, getting sacked 4,000 times. The offensive line starts playing better. It's on the players. It's on the roster. This is why, again, it's so frustrating with Vic, is because I do think they have talent. But if this team fails to go to the playoffs, there's no way. I don't even care about an improvement. Like, we're talking about 8 wins. Is 8 wins enough to bring this to run it back? And the way they've lost some of these games, and Vic's temperament, the way he is, like, I know he's a okay coordinator. He was a good defensive coordinator. I haven't really seen the greatness since he's been a Broncos head coach, and maybe that's because he's obviously focusing too much on the head coaching side of it, but at the same time, it still doesn't really feel like he's a head coach. It is a tough day when you're looking at. I mean, there's another article in the Denver Post that's Kisla put this out. As apathy grips Broncos country, every empty seat at stadium is a vote to fire Coach Fangio. Now, I know most of you out there think that this day could never come, that Broncos country isn't number one. Guys, at some point, it's like I always say about the next man up mentality. At some point, you can't say next man up anymore. They're number one, number two, number three for a reason. At some point, you can't say this is Broncos country. Colorado is a Broncos state. At some point, that's going to fade. Is it fading now? I don't remember seeing as many people not go to games. I mean, last week was a different story, but the 2 weeks before that was at the Washington game. That was at home, right? 10,000 no-shows. 10,000. That's a big number for a team that is, quote-unquote, the team of the state. Hold 77. There were 67,000 people at the stadium. And those numbers are usually generous. Stadium numbers like that, they're usually generous. People are starting to speak with their dollars. And I'm telling you, you squeeze into the playoffs, it's a different story, kind of. But even if the Broncos get in it, maybe they get in at 10-7. Maybe they find a way to win five more games. Do you still feel like Vic and Pat, Teddy, like this is the group we want to ride with? 10 games is a pretty large sample size of a season. Do you see Vic Fangio just suddenly becoming a better head coach? Pat Shurmur suddenly becoming a better offensive coordinator? I mean, they're going to have to change their philosophies. This is what I said about Teddy. I mean, you know what you got in Teddy. He's a fine quarterback. He's good as a backup if you need him to come in. A guy goes down for 2 or 3 weeks and he's in. A guy goes down in the first half, he comes in the second. Okay, Teddy's going to probably win you some games like that as a backup. But to me, it's not a long-term plan. Vic was never a long-term plan. I was listening to Clark and the coach. They were. I love it. They always interview great coaches throughout the area, preps coaches and players. And the coach they had on today kind of talked about the prep side of it. But he said something along the lines of, hey, you know, if you're going to, you might as well get a young coach that you know has some skill and grow with him as opposed to getting an older coach that's done it this particular way and was never necessarily very good at it. I mean, Pat Shurmur was fired from the Giants. Vic Fangio was never a head coach. And that's all well and good if he's 37 and he's come moving up in the ranks. And I'm not trying to be like an ageist here, but what was the 10-year plan? That Vic, all these years of not being a head coach, would suddenly be with the Broncos for 10 years? This is where, you know, this is when I started to really see the cracks in John Elway's plan. There were so many good things that Elway did leading up to and during the Manning era. And then once Manning was gone and Gary Kubiak was gone, it was like Elway was lost. And then the hires continued. You know, Vance Joseph was a bad hire, which Vance Joseph made more sense, though, than the Vic Fangio hire. That made more sense at the time because it's a younger coach that is looking for his first shot, and you're going to try to grow with him. I don't know really what the plan is overall. I mean, that's what kind of gets me Mysterio texting, and Leopards don't lose their spots. They all need to go. I agree. Even if they make it into the play. Now, the only saving grace here is they suddenly go on a hell of a streak. They somehow win the AFC West. They get into the playoffs. They win a game. And maybe that saves them. Again, if that happens, I feel like you're going to get guys like Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson and Javonte Williams. They just ball out for the remaining 7 games. Mysterio says they still need to go. That's an interesting question, I guess, right? Because I would imagine most of Broncos country is ready to move on from Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur. Teddy's probably 50-50. But what would it take to change your mind? I mean, if they win the division? Mysterio saying they still need to go. Another texter says they still need to go. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What would it take to change your mind on Victor Fangio and Patrick Shurmur? I don't know if that's what they like to be called. What would it take to change your mind? The big one? Somehow winning the Super Bowl? You can't fire a group after that, right? I mean, the chances of that happening are very low. Then again, the AFC is wide open right now. Texter, I bet the players say they are all playing for the team now, but deep inside they're playing for their own stats and themselves. I've never seen a Broncos team, especially, or any NFL team at 5-5 feel like they're 3-7. That's what it feels like. 21 minutes after the hour. Norfolk Iron and Metal, they're hiring. There's no secret that the hiring market is incredibly competitive. They, like many others, are looking for members to join their wonderful team. Visit their website at norfolkiron.com or call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722. We're going to take a short break. We got a lot to get to today. I do want to follow up on some Colorado State stuff. We're going to have Kevin on at the bottom of the hour. Where are we with the Rams? Man, football, it's just like every day. We're in a negative spot talking football. And you tell me it's not a basketball state. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Someone's winning $1,000 this year with KFKA's Cash for Christmas. Find out how at 1310kfka.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310KSKS.
I love that we kept the old Dalton Reisner rejoin in, the one before he got drafted by the Broncos. So I love that we keep that. Welcome back to the show. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect, man. They just moved their location. So now they're in Greeley. They were in Loveland. Excellent location there, but they wanted to be in Greeley. It's in the, where Cables is here in Greeley. They're in that little square, that shopping area. There's the Cables. There's the haircut, the barber shop there. I think Subway, and now they're in that spot. So go visit them. No Limit Collectibles. Basketball cards, football cards, sports memorabilia. Decorate that office, the man cave. Make it look fantastic with all of the greatest sports items around. And if they don't have what you're looking for, they're going to find it. Ken Yamada knows how to work it, man. He can get any kind of stuff. He goes to shows all the time. I mean, I asked him for our United Way event last year. I was like, can we get a signed Von Miller helmet? Bam. Called a guy up. Got it. Got it done. That's No Limit Collectibles. Tell him we sent you here from The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. How about last night? The UNC Bears, they lose to Texas, which is not a shocker, but 62-49. Lost by 13. The spread was 21. I said 17. They stayed in. Now, they were losing 37-15 at the half. They outscored a top 10 team in the country in the second half, 34-25, to lose 62-49.
Yeah, they just couldn't rebound the ball in the first half.
I was texting back and forth with Coach Smiley this morning. And he's like, hey, a couple more of those shots fall early, and we don't throw it all over the place. Maybe it would have been a game at the end. He said their talent is unreal. Well, the Bears' talent is pretty damn good. Now, they did all that comeback without Bodie Hume playing well. Now, I know he got in foul trouble, right? 0 points. My deep thoughts from a wandering mind is available at thewholeshow.com. And one of my things to watch for the Bears, I did four things, is I need Bodie Hume to be one of the best in the conference. And he had 0 points last night. He didn't, he got, again, foul trouble so early on. He only shot the ball twice. Shot 1-3, didn't even go to the line. He had 5 rebounds, though, 3 assists, but not in long enough to get anything going. And Dalen Kuntz continues to put together nice games. That's film right there. That's what you want. You performed against Texas. 14 points for Dalen. 2 assists and 4 boards. About 50% on his field goal percentage. 2 of 4 from the three-point line. And then one of my other key, well, Dalen Kuntz is a key. Go check out my kind of synopsis there, preview there, if you will. Dalen Kuntz, I actually think, could be the best player in the Big Sky Conference. Bodie, I want him to be a top guy, but I think Dalen can win this thing. Matt Johnson, I think they need his three-pointers to lead. I think he needs to lead this team in three-pointers, and look what he did last night. He was 4 of 7. Dalen was 2 of 4, and Cuxhausen was 2 of 6. So that's what you want from Matt Johnson. So, I mean, hey, that performance is pretty encouraging if you're a Bears fan to go up against the Longhorns. Suddenly, that CSU-UNC game looks really interesting in a couple of weeks. I think Tanner asked the question, who's the best basketball team in the state? I mean, to me, it's obviously CSU. But we might get those answers. CSU might play CU in the Paradise Jam, and then CSU will play UNC in a couple of weeks. So we're gonna find out pretty quickly if CSU really is the best team in the state.
You know, going back to the UNC game, if they don't beat themselves so badly, because they did not play their best game, I think...
And they hung in.
Well, yeah, but that first half wasn't great.
Yeah.
If they didn't make so many mistakes, a lot of people take a look at them and go, oh, wow.
20 turnovers. That's going to do it. I mean, 20 turnovers, hard to win basketball games that way. Everybody turning the ball over. Kaur Jokic had 5 turnovers. Bodie had 3. Dalton Connect had 4. Matt Johnson had 4. Dalen Kuntz had 2. 20 total turnovers. And you still only lost by 13. I was impressed. I was really impressed listening to that game last night. Jerry Schimmel, by the way, his second basketball game with us, calling UNC Bears games. If you have not listened to a Jerry Schimmel broadcast, you're doing it wrong. The guy is one of the best, and that was a great comeback. Interesting, anyway. They held Texas to 25 points. It's a tough thing to do. 32 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, welcome back to The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy. Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle. Are we live from the Virgin Islands, Kevin? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, we're really going global. You know, The Whole Show is everywhere. And yeah, I'm sitting on, I don't even know, some little bay in the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Thomas.
I've actually been to St. Thomas before. I have not been to many places outside of the country, but I have been there, Kevin, so people will probably know of me. So just ask around.
Well, I was going to say, I keep checking the cars for Whole Show bumper stickers. I must have just missed them, yeah, but I'm sure they're here.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, you know, bumper stickers, bumper stickers, hats. You have a hat. I'm sure you have it on right now. It's everywhere. The Whole Show makes its way around. But, man, I mean, are you getting to enjoy yourself at all there, or is it all 100% work for you there?
No, it'll be a mix, mostly work, but I also did tack a day on at the end so I can be a tourist at the end of the tournament here. So yeah, a little bit of work and pleasure. Right now I'm mostly just sleep-deprived hangover. You know, did the red eye, flew all night, so I haven't slept in a day, but it's great. I mean, there are worse places to be tired than sitting on the ocean.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right, my friend. And get to see this Rams team in action is never a bad thing either. Colorado State starting the season 3-0. I think we kind of expected that start. And now you got this tournament that's interesting. We were talking to Jesse Kurtz yesterday with the Mountain West Network. He's like, you know, I kept looking at CSU's schedule saying, when do they play CU? And he was bummed that it wasn't there. Well, we have an opportunity. We might see those two teams square off if they can both make it to the end.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope for that. I think a lot of people hope for that. That would be really fun. It's you know, frankly absurd that they're not playing right in the regular season or you know, scheduled to. So hopefully we get it. It's a decent little tournament. You know, this isn't, you know, the most marquee of these non-conference tournaments, but it's a pretty solid one. You know, CSU opens with Bradley tomorrow, you know, a game that, you know, frankly they need to win if they, you know, want to be the team they think they are, but then they could run into Creighton, who, you know, obviously historically is a pretty solid program. And as you mentioned, that could lead to the CU game. So I really hope that happens. That'd be really fun for, you know, college basketball in the state.
Yeah, I was referencing something from Tanner's show earlier. He did a poll question the other day asking, you know, who is the best basketball team in the state. And to me, it's obvious it's CSU just because of everything building up. But we might get a chance to answer that question, at least early on. I know basketball teams, they get better as the year progresses. But the Rams could very well play the Buffs, and then they play the UNC Bears in a couple of weeks or whatever that looks like. So in the Bears, I mean, they hung tough in the second half against Texas. Suddenly those games, the possibility at least of those games, becomes very interesting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The next week and a half, we'll know a lot more about that question there. And yeah, I think on paper, CSU is the, you know, what you would call the best team in the state, or the favorite to be the best team in the state. You know, CU's in a little bit of a, you don't want to say rebuild, they have a lot of talented players, but they're, you know, more inexperienced, I guess, as a group, whereas CSU, these guys have played together for a long time. And then, yeah, I mean, right after the Virgin Islands, CSU gets that UNC team, which, to me, that's a real tricky game, because UNC looks pretty solid, as you said, and coming right after a long travel and trip and everything, that's going to be a really interesting and really challenging game for CSU. So yeah, we're going to learn a lot, you know, about all these teams in the next week half, and then certainly about that who's the best in the state question.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm excited for it, man. I'm glad you're there, of course, to provide that coverage. What time does everything get? I don't have it in front of me, Kevin. What time does everything get started tomorrow?
Yeah, so it gets going early back home. It's 11 a.m. Mountain tip-off against Bradley. I believe it's the first game of the day. I don't have the full bracket in front of me. So 11 a.m. out there, that's a 2 p.m. tip local time here. So, yeah, it gets going pretty early. It's on ESPN Plus, so you can watch it online while you're quote-unquote working. So kind of a fun way to spend your Friday morning, I guess.
Yeah, turn it on during the show, man. We'll be able to give some live action while it's going on. So I'm looking forward to it. So you have fun, man. We'll see what that tournament looks like. How about the football side? Do we dare go there? You tell me this, Kevin. Has the press conference room, the media room, has it become a toxic environment? Coach Addazio looks like he's ready to snap, and it wasn't you that made him mad this time. It was Terry Fry. So, I mean, it was another interesting response, at least after the game. I know he kind of mended that the next day, but, I mean, what are you guys doing? You ask questions. Are you worried that every time there's going to be a blow-up?
Yeah, I mean, certainly post-games have been pretty tense. And, yeah, there were kind of a couple points. Justin Michael had asked a question, sort of big picture, and he got kind of mad about that, and that led to a lot of the talk about, you know, laying bricks and building a foundation and all that. And then Terry kind of followed with a, you know, another kind of big picture question. And yeah, he, you can tell it's pressure. Obviously, losing games isn't good. You know, he doesn't want to answer questions about the long-term future. Kind of just, in a way, it seems like he expects blind faith that what they're doing is working. And, you know, that's not the way it works, but on the flip side, I totally understand that's not fun to talk about, you know, losses as they continue to mount. So that'll put you on edge. So in a way, I do understand, you know, just frustration. But on the flip side, it's, you know, it's not our job to just sit there and say, well, the coach says everything's great, so it must be great. So yeah, it's been a little tense post games a few times. But you did mention Monday, a lot different tone. The coach Addazio kind of said, well, you know, I was kind of frustrated with everything going on, and the question sort of pushed me down that path, and you know, led to further frustration and anger. But you know, that's what happens with losing teams. You know, to be honest, if you had a coach that's in a great mood after losing four straight games, I'd be worried about that as well. So it's not the worst thing in the world to have a coach that's not happy to be losing.
I think you're right. You don't want them being happy and painting, you know, rainbows and kittens and everything's fine. But I guess my frustration part, and I talked to Scott about this on the Scott Patchett show on Monday. I said, you know, Coach tells us they're building things brick by brick. And so what I had asked, and I said, maybe this would help fans. Can you give us an example? What is an example on this program that says we are building this thing up? Because you and I have talked about this many times. You're losing your studs. You're losing your best players on this team next year. So, Kevin, can you answer that question? Has Coach alluded to that at all? What are those things that we can look at and say they're building? I know he said they're learning how to watch film, which is terrifying. But what are some of those things that we can actually say they are building?
Yeah, and that's a great question, a great point, and why I think there is this, I guess, clashing a little bit. Is it's a lot of vague generalities of, you know, building a program, or, you know, being tough, like you say, you know, learning how to strain. That's one of his favorite phrases, strain, as far as practice, as far as film study, everything. And, you know, all those sound good, but they're pretty vague, non-specific things. So, you know, we'll see. He'll have a chance to, you know, prove it next year with a lot of these young guys. You know, he's talked generally that he likes a lot of these young guys, thinks they're really good. Well, they're going to have to be good because they're going to be playing key roles next year. So we'll kind of see some there. But, yeah, right now it is a lot of generalities, and that's why I say you get some of that clashing, because, you know, it's not our job to just spew the company line of, you know, we're working hard and just believe that it's going to be good.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I think – to me, because there's a lot of things that I listen to Coach D'Azio on, and I go, all right, that makes sense that he says that. And, you know, Scott had actually said something like, well, do you want a coach to not give you stuff, not blow up and talk? I said, for me, it's great because we get to talk about it. It's great content, Kevin. So keep asking questions that fire him up and we can chat about it. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's like, all right, you're saying these things, these coach speak things, and I can appreciate some of that stuff. But at the end of the day, I kind of want to get a hint. What is it? I mean, are you expecting a great offensive line next year as far as a class coming in? Are you expecting growth with your quarterback? Those are things that I would really like to at least hear to give me kind of some hope, because right now I'm looking at it going, you're losing your best players. What's next?
Yeah, and that's, again, where the generalities come in. You know, talk about, you know, having explosive offense. Well, you know, every team in the country says they want an explosive offense. That doesn't really mean anything, and I think that goes back to what we've discussed. This team doesn't really have an identity right now. You know, you think they want to be kind of that hard-nosed rushing team, but they're not really that. They're certainly not a high-flying passing team. And you know, any one of those, there are a lot of different things that can be, you know, perfectly fine identities, but they don't really have one right now. So, yeah, I think that's where it's fair to just wonder, you know, if this team, if this program is, you know, successful in the way he says they're building it to be, what's that going to look like? And we still don't really know yet.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I guess we will see. Kevin, we're going to let you go, my friend. We're going to talk to you later. We'll get you on our college football kickoff show. I believe that's our last football version coming up at 5 o'clock. And then we're going to switch it up because we don't have a show next week. And then it's going to be all basketball. So dare I say this, we might actually have positive stuff to talk about after today's show.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's a crazy time of year, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Kevin, we'll talk to you soon, man. Look forward to it. We'll rejoin at 5 o'clock for the college football kickoff show. Kevin, my friend, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and the Colorado State Rams getting set for that tournament going up against Bradley bright and early. Well, not bright and early, but 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll have updates for you on that game. 48 minutes after the hour. Before we break, do want to tell you about Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. And Clark and I were talking about their next ad they're going to do. And you know, you'll hear it. The ad's kind of like, you know, very... I think the person speaking in the obituary just said, Frank is tall. He is nice. He's rarely late. And at the end of the ad, it's basically like, you didn't know him. Nobody knew him. They didn't have it all set up because the funeral, among everything, wasn't planned out of who was going to say what and how they were going to say it. And instead, you know, you were grieving, and it's hard to plan all this. Go to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service and talk to them about pre-planning, and then get it out of your head. Don't worry about it anymore. 970-330-6824. 48 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Hear Bears basketball and the voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
53 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. It's The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Our First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week each and every week. Brian Gary's going to be out live and on location at On the Rocks Liquor tomorrow. You guys know where it is, right off Highway 34 and 47th Avenue near Buffalo Wild Wings. Brian's going to be there 3 to 5 as part of our KFKA's Cash for Christmas promotion going on. Somebody is going to win $1,000. Second place is going to win $500. Third place is going to win $300. Here's what you got to do. Write these down, Hulligans, okay? You're driving around. Just make sure you stop into these locations and register. On the Rocks Liquor, they've got their sled out there now, so you can go sign up. And then we're going to pull out one of the contestants, I guess. It's going to be like a best of five drawing. We'll pull out a winner of that tomorrow. On the Rocks Liquor. You'll still be able to go register it on the Rocks, though, throughout, because we're going to have five contestants eligible to win. So get your name in the mix. On the Rocks Liquor, the Tavern at St. Michael Square, Rule 105, formerly Broken Plow Brewery, Rule 105, and the Midnight Oil Bookstore, downtown Greeley here, right across from Henry's Pub, right across the street. It is an awesome little bookstore, man. And I know that they've got some big plans in store. So write those places down and go register. You want to increase your chances to win? You got to register at all four locations. And come out and see us. We're going to be out at On the Rocks Liquor tomorrow. So we'll be hanging out with Brian and getting ready, getting set, man. I mean, the holiday season is coming. $1,000 in your pocket if you can win local odds too, folks. So make sure you get in the mix there. That's On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. They got the free wine and beer. They got the free wine and beer tasting going on tomorrow at the same around the same time. So there's another reason to come out. As if you needed another reason to come out and visit with Brian Gary. Again, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. When we come back, I want to look at tonight's game. I do have a pair of tickets to give away for Nuggets and 76ers tonight. I don't think Joel Embiid is going to play, but because he's been hurt, the Sixers started out 8-2. They're now 8-7 because, well, Embiid's been out, Tobias Harris has been out, and Danny Green's been out. So the Sixers have certainly been crippled by injuries, and it's showing. So let's see if the Nuggets can get this one tonight. Again, we'll give a pair of tickets away in the second hour. We're going to need your first and last name and an email address. See if Joker can continue on with this run. I mean, yesterday we talked about it. Is he the clear-cut favorite right now? No, I think Steph Curry's right there. And that's tough. I'm not being a fanboy, right? Last year I said, no, it's Joker because Golden State wasn't very good. But here's something that's going to help Joker's case. He's doing it without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So that should really help his case because so much of what this team wants to do was kind of built around Jamal, was slowly trying to build around MPJ. And so the fact that Joker continues to put up big numbers and the Nuggets are good. Nuggets are a decent team. See if they can grab win number 10 tonight against Philadelphia. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. We're going to talk about Mel Tucker, too, on the other side with Brian Howell, Buff Zone. Are Buffs fans throwing up every day they see the Spartans continue to do well? Talk about it next.